Well, good morning, everybody. Great to be with you. My name is Alex Grom, and if we haven't met, I am the campus pastor over at our Torrance location. Thanks so much for coming to church today. That's really, really meaningful, especially seeing all your faces here at Manhattan Beach. It's great that we're together. But this is also the part of our service where we connect live with our other campus at Torrance, so really, really happy to not see them, but know that they're with us in this digital moment. I love the people over there. I love that we can be connected live together through the technology of it all. Hey, I want to start today's message with an acknowledgement that really just wanted to acknowledge that this was a terrible week. With the political violence and the, yet another school shooting, and even the fact that it was the anniversary of 9/11 has led to a week that I know that many of you, many of us, come back heavier this week than maybe we expected when we left last week from church. I really want you to know that we care about each other here, that we love you. We are very different people from each other. We have a wide spectrum of people, but we're all gonna agree that this needs to be a place where we can find comfort. I hope you've already experienced that together here at church, a little bit of peace from the time of worship. We're gonna focus on the Bible today. We're gonna look at some scriptures together, and I hope that God can be with you as we do that. We can grow closer to him together. We do this every week, but I really want to encourage you that we have such phenomenal prayer volunteers and staff that are available after service at both of our campuses by these lit crosses that you can see. Do not leave without taking advantage of a chance to connect with someone. If you felt isolated or alone, we want you to be connected. And so please spend some time allowing them to pray with you, pray over you, have some good conversations this week about how we can grow together in connection rather than being torn apart. So with that said, I do want to continue with today's message. I feel like God has something to teach us this morning that was planned. And so I just want to reference back to that video we just watched. We came up with a script from that video based on things that people in our community say about Journey of Faith. And if you're new with us, maybe you've heard some of those things. Maybe that's what got you to church today. But we hear people say things like Journey of Faith is understandable and Jesus-focused. And most importantly, we hear often about it's a welcoming church or it's an inviting church. So we are in week two of a message series called Portraits. And really, it's about that inviting question. It's about this, as we look at it here. What are we inviting people into? If we invite a neighbor or a friend and they come to Journey, what do we hope that they expect together? Or maybe that's not even an invite. Maybe that's you. You were invited or you decided to come to church. What is this place? What are we? What are we committed to together? And so we're talking through some of our beliefs, some of the way we work as a church, so that we can all find a home and a place for us to grow closer in connection with God. Now, it's my pleasure this morning to be able to talk about something that is very ultra important to us, and that is this, the Bible. How do we use the Bible is going to be the question. It's not just we like the Bible around here. We have incredibly strong beliefs about the Bible. In fact, if you go on our website in the About Us section, you can find what's called our Statement of Faith. Almost all churches have a similar document where you can kind of know their foundational beliefs. And can you guess what the number one area, the number one belief is about? Some of you are guessing the Bible. That's not the case. It's about God and God the Holy Spirit and God the Father and God the Son of God in Jesus. But right after that, right after God, is our beliefs about the Bible. I'd love for you to visit that page and to read that yourself. I want to show you, though, just a snippet of it that shows how vital this is to us. Here's what that section says. It says, the Bible, we believe, is the supreme authority in all matters of faith and conduct. Now, if you're new to us, anytime we use this word supreme, we use it so rarely, you know we mean business here, because that's a big deal. We think that the Bible, this is saying, we think the Bible should impact the entirety of how we live. Everything we do should be filtered through God's truth in the Bible. We believe that God wants to speak to us through the Bible, that it is his very message to humanity found in Scripture. In fact, I want to read you a verse that's self-referential from the Bible about why we believe this so strongly. Here it is. It comes from 2 Timothy. It says, all Scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what's true and make us realize what's wrong in our lives. Then it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what's right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. We think that Jesus wants to transform our lives through reading and being inspired by his inspiration in the Bible. Now, I want to take this this verse and our core belief about the Bible, kind of wrap them into our main idea for today, and that's this. We should all commit to reading, understanding, and living out God's truth in the Bible. Now, some of you have been Christians for a long time. You hear a main idea like this, and you're like, yeah, the Bible's great. And others of you are just starting in faith, or maybe you had a bad experience with religion as a young person, and you look at this, and it's pretty daunting. There's a challenge here, a tension here, that some of us might feel around. It's the supreme authority in everything I do. The image might be, actually, I have something to show you here. The biggest Bible I could find. That's what this is. Look at this. The worry could be that if you're interested in connecting with us at Journey of Faith, then we'll say, okay, and then we'll bring this bad boy out and place it in front of you, and we're like, okay, get reading. Once you've got this mastered, you can stick around at Journey of Faith. And we might say things like, sure, we understand that this is an ancient document, and it took 1,500 years to write all the books that are compiled into this one book, and the latest one of those books was written 1,900 years ago, finished about the year 100 AD. Sure, we get that. Figure it out. Read it. Or we might say, you know, I get it. There's a lot of different genres of literature in the Bible, some of which, all of which take different interpretation techniques to understand accurately, and most of which you probably have not studied or come in contact with those literary genres in any other context in your life. So what? Figure it out. Get to reading. We have that idea, and I want to dispel that myth that that's how we approach the Bible, especially because that is not how any of us who have regular daily interactions with God through the Bible came to understand him. Nobody does it that way. We should not do it that way. But that really begs the question, then how do we do it? What should we be doing? How can we interact with it? I think that we are a church that holds two really strong beliefs about the Bible in tension at all times. The first I've already said, which is this, that the Bible is the best way to hear directly from God. That's absolutely what I believe to be true. But that is held in tension with this other one, that the Bible is a uniquely challenging book to read and understand. If we approach this and just say, what, you didn't figure it out? Of course you didn't figure it out. It's uniquely challenging to read ancient documents you've never encountered before. We want to be a church that's helpful for all of us to engage with the Bible, with God's message, better and better. So here really is the question we're tackling today. How? How do we teach and individually interact with the Bible here at Journey? I want you to come in with an understanding, or leave today with an understanding of how we do this together. And I truly mean together, because how we interact with the Bible isn't only about whoever it is, me or Jason or Krista or Jill, who brings our sermon, our message week by week. It really is about us interacting with it together or personally. How do we do that on the same page? An example of this, I want to show you two portraits today that symbolize this for me. And the first is of one of our volunteers. This is Amanda. She works at our Torrance campus with the tiniest of babies and holds them during the service so parents can have a good experience. And she also fills in with our preschool classes when there's a need. Do you know that when you drop your kids off at Journey Kids, that are even at the preschool level, they don't just goof around for an hour waiting for you to come back. They don't just trash the place and eat snacks. They probably trash the place, but they don't just trash the place. They learn a lesson from the Bible, even at that age. And then they are taught to discuss that and integrate it into their lives as preschoolers. Here's another picture. This is David and Brenda. They're elementary teachers with us at the Torrance campus. They volunteer all the time, and their job is to take the truths of the Bible from the lesson that we're learning and help facilitate small group discussions about how to apply it to our lives with elementary students. Some of you aren't even doing that kind of discussion, and our preschoolers and elementary kids are. We as a church take the truths of the Bible seriously, whether you're 18 months old or 100 years old. We want to help make the Bible something that you interact with all the time because God has a message of love and forgiveness and motivation for you that you need from the Bible, that we would learn how he has created us to live and we would be able to take that path more closely in our lives. So today, I want to use their portraits, their inspiration, to really give us all three steps, three ways that we could get better at reading and interacting with the Bible so that we can hear God's message of love. So let me start with the first one. I don't think it will surprise you. If you want to do this, you need to read the Bible. Now read it thoughtfully on your own and when we're together. I cannot tell you in our world, in our culture, how many people think things about the Bible, think the Bible says certain things or other things, but have never actually opened and read any of the Bible. Friends, that cannot be. I really want to encourage you to buck that trend and instead to commit yourselves to exploring, to reading the Bible. I was thinking about the reasons behind this, the why, and I got to tell you, one that screams so loudly to me is just the idea that we can, that it's possible for us to so easily read the Bible. I already mentioned this, but the Bible is an ancient document. Even when we say it's a book, it's actually made up of 66 books, and all of it, it took 1,500 years to compile them, and that all finished up about 1,900 years ago. During that long process of writing and collecting the Bible, and then for many, many centuries afterwards, the idea of owning a physical, personal Bible was out of the question. Instead, some people devoted their lives to handwriting out, copying the Bible onto giant scrolls, the paper of that era, the books of that era, in segments so that more people could interact with it. Literally, people gave their lives to ancient languages that they were copying down, and these were so expensive, so task-intensive, labor-intensive, so challenging to copy so meticulously that they were often only owned by the super wealthy or the local religious leader. So if you wanted to interact with the Bible, you had to go to your local synagogue and sit and listen to a scholar, basically, read and interpret that specific section of the Bible and try to explain it to you in a language you could understand. For the majority of human cultural history, the majority of people who have ever lived in a society like ours, the only way to interact with the Bible was through a very complicated oral tradition heavily based in memorization, that you would hear it once and you would memorize it so you could... Can you picture what a contrast that is from even walking out with this gigantic one? And what a piece of cake it is for us to interact with the Bible. By the way, we're not going to hand these out, but if you don't have a Bible, you know how easy it is to get one? All you have to do is leave and go out to the lobby. We would love to give you this copy of the Bible to take home as your personal copy to read and work with us to understand it better. So, and then this, I mean, how many of you are like, I'm not carrying that thing around because you already have it on your phone. You use it, and you interact with it, but you're like, I have it digitally. I can get it whenever I want. That's wonderful. The Bible is so easy to interact with. It's almost like we owe it to those generations before us that shepherded the physical Bible so that we could interact with it. Please, please interact with God's word. By the way, why did they do that? Why did they go through all the trouble to do that? Of figuring it out, the ancient languages, the interpretations, the writing it down on scrolls, they did it because they were passionate about God's message to the world. They wanted to interact with God himself through the truth of the Bible. I want to show you a verse, a section of verses from the Psalms. It's a book of poetry in the Bible, and where it's an ancient author, King David, one of the greatest kings of ancient Israel, is writing about his experience and interaction with God's word, the Bible of his time. I want to read his beautiful poem. Here's what he says. He says, "The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. The fear of the Lord is pure, lasts forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold." And he finishes like this. He says, "They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They're a warning to your servant, but a great reward to those who obey them." David is emotional about Scripture. He's passionate in a way that we should recapture because he's not just reading the Bible. He is emotionally engaged with a God who wants to connect with him. He sees the Bible correctly as a conduit, as the bridge into a personal relationship with the God who loves him and creates him. We should share that passion. Now, I want to go back to that first main point. Remember, we should just read it because it's available. Read the Bible, though, thoughtfully, both on your own and when we're together. What that means is that, yes, I want you to approach the Bible with emotion to really hear God's love there, but I also want you to become a thinking person. That when we read the Bible, it's not random words. This is something that we can learn through our intellect to understand and interpret better and better. So I want to show you just a list of like normal foundational questions that anytime you approach the Bible and you're reading it, you should be asking and thinking about as you go along. Here are some of them. First, what section should I read? Don't just flip it open and point and be like, oh, this is God's word to me. It is, kind of, but he has a better plan than that, than randomness. If you have never read the Bible, I'd really suggest you find and start with the book inside here called John. It's the stories of Jesus' life. You'll understand his character better and his sacrifice on the cross better. It would be a wonderful place to start. So once you do that, as you're reading, you should ask, do I understand what the section is about? It's a great question. Next. Who is writing and who was the original audience? What did the first people who read this think about it? Next is this. What have other Christians throughout all of history learned from this passage? You're not the first person to read the Bible. That's great. There's lots of great resources. Then finally, this one. What is God trying to teach me? God, what do you want to tell me as I read this story in the Bible? It's a great way to do it. Here's the challenge I have for you today. This one comes with an action step. The action step would be for each of us to do this. To choose a daily Bible reading plan and thoughtfully read the Bible for the next 14 days, just 2 weeks. Not saying you have to read the Bible forever, although I am sneakily trying to help you form a habit here, so that should be visible. But honestly, if you do this, you know what you'll find? God. You will find his love. If you thoughtfully and emotionally approach the Bible, God will answer your cry for connection with him. We want to be helpful to you in that. By the way, some of you have a great Bible reading plan that you're like, of course I know what he's talking about. If you don't, that's okay. Here's the way I do it and that I really recommend if you're new to this. The first step is to download the Bible onto your phone. We often use a Bible. It's called the YouVersion app. This is the icon you're looking for. If you search your Apple or whatever other store for the app, you'll find it's the first one. And it is a great resource. Tons of translations of the Bible. The one that we use here is called the NLT. Easy to read. But the screen that you'll see when you open up this app looks like this. It's got great stuff here, but then this I've circled on here says plans. And if you click on that, here's the next screen. It's just a listing where you can search for different types of plans that might be of interest to you. Maybe it's a specific book of the Bible. Maybe it's a topic that you're wondering about. And this will guide you into a daily plan. It'll give you a little bit of Bible verses to read, a thought or devotional thought from someone about it that will help you understand it, and then maybe some questions about how to integrate it in your life. Do this for 2 weeks. Read something from the Bible for 2 weeks. Pastor Jill in 2 weeks is going to share more about how we can get the most out of our personal time with God. That would be a great time for us to check in. Hey, did you do it? Did you do it? I think this will be the first step towards life transformation for many of us. So the first thing is, if you want to interact with the Bible, you got to read the Bible. God has made it available. Let's do that. This is a great way to do it. The second thing we can do, the second step we can take is this. We need to share the truth you learn from the Bible in understandable language. I want everybody to understand that God wants to speak to us. We need to take that in, but one of his major purposes is that we would not keep that locked in. We would share that with those around us, what we're learning, how much he loves people, how much he wants to forgive us and reconnect with us forever. I want to tell you a story. Let's see if you track with this one. When I was a little kid, well, let me say this. My parents live in Wisconsin now. Actually, my mom sometimes watches, so hey, Ma, if you're watching, that's great. But they live in Wisconsin now, but they haven't always. They grew up in New Jersey, and actually, when I was a little kid, that's where I was born, New Jersey. First couple years of my life, we lived there, and we lived right across the river from New York City. So my dad's a huge, don't think badly of him, a Yankee fan, big Yankee fan. He grew up that way. It's in his blood. He would go to as many games as possible. He would watch them on TV. But what I remember the clearest is he was a radio listener. He would listen to the games on the radio. Do you ever have parents like this? Maybe you still do this, but you can remember those days in the car where your family was listening to the radio. Well, every once in a while, well, by the way, he didn't just listen. You know those people, he like listened. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, great. Every once in a while, we would have to take, I don't know, a family trip or something. And when we did that, we would all be in the car, and sometimes that would coincide with a ball game on. And he would turn the ball game on, and when we're leaving home, it's like, top of the fifth, and the Yankees are, whatever it is. But as we slowly drove west, that signal got more and more staticky. So a couple miles away, it'd be like, and we have four kids in my family. It drove us bananas. The farther and farther we went, finally, there was no discernible English words at all. It was just, did my dad change this channel? Did he rotate that dial to change? No, he did not, because he loved the game. And he would swear, I'm still listening, I'm still listening. And we in the back as kids, we would beg my mom, Mom, please make him turn it off, change the music, anything. And she'd be like, honey, where? No, I'm listening to the game. It was madness, friends. That sticks in my mind for a pretty unfortunate reason that I'm bringing up. Sometimes when we try to describe the things we have learned from the Bible, you know what we sound like? Completely non-understandable. And in fact, the bitter irony of this, I'm sorry to say, is that some of us who love the game the most, not the game, some of us who love the Bible the most, who have been interacting with it for the longest time, have become less and less understandable in our practice in sharing it with other people. And when we do force ourselves to do it, we sound so staticky, it has the same effect it had on me as a little kid in the back. It's kind of annoying. I want to challenge us to completely, together as a church, fight the gravity of static when it comes to understandable language, when it comes to explaining our faith experience. There's, again, a beautiful verse I want to show you from King David. He talks about the Bible like this. He says, God, your word, it's a lamp to guide my feet, a light for my path. He's using this beautiful image that evokes clarity, of clear direction from God, an understandable and a connectable path to walk. This is our commitment as a church, that we would be a place that we together are making the truths of Scripture understandable to people for our entire, and wherever people are on the journey of their spiritual experience. In fact, this really motivates us for the message part of every service. Some of you have seen this before, but we really have committed to a diagram that we call the continuum and taking this seriously. So let me show you the continuum. Here's what it looks like. It's from -5, there's 0 in the middle, and +5 over here. This continuum represents the entirety of the spectrum of spiritual interest and experience across the South Bay, or anywhere, but we think in terms of the South Bay. Now, by the way, On this continuum, we have people at Journey of Faith on every single one of these, except, well, I'll get to that in a second. But if you, as I describe it, find yourself on this chart, you need to know you're welcome here. God loves you. We're going to work together, because wherever you are, we want to help everyone move this direction on the chart, getting closer and closer. So let me explain it. A -5 on this chart would be someone who is vehemently, outspokenly refusing to have any spiritual interest at all. They don't want to talk about faith. They don't want to encounter spirituality. They just have zero interest. Now, statistically, you need to know true -5s are unbelievably rare. Most people are actually more in the -4 to -2 range, where they are relationally especially interested. They would have a conversation about their spiritual understanding and the things in their life. And as they move closer this way into this range is when that spiritual interest might crystallize around Jesus and pursuing the actual message of Christianity. Some of you have joined, been part of coming to our church because you were in this kind of -2 to -11 range. 0 represents on this chart the moment someone makes a decision to receive Jesus' forgiveness and follow him with their lives. That's the moment, some people call that conversion or salvation, praying the yes prayer. We say yes to Jesus. That's that moment. Do you remember that moment or that season in some of your lives where you made this decision to follow Jesus? After that, the chart in that positive sense is the continual growth spiritually. That's when in the early days you learn to read the Bible and to pray and to talk about your faith, and you push into things like generosity and being in a group and farther all the way for your whole life. Now, by the way, +5 is if you have reached perfection as a Christian. There's nothing more to learn. There's only one person who fits as a positive five, and that is Jesus. And technically, he is with us, so we can say we have the whole continuum represented today with us. But you can be anywhere on this. We want to be a church that encourages you together to move towards Christ-likeness, to be more and more connected to Jesus and like him. But even though we represent everything, we feel a specific call as a church to a specific range, that we really feel like God has called us to this zone of -2 to +2. People who are really exploring faith or just beginning, we feel like is our sweet spot, that we feel like God has used us the most there in our history, and he wants us to continue to reach people in the South Bay in that range most specifically. Now, listen, if you are not in that range, if you're still coming this way, that's wonderful. But for those of you who are this far where you're like, oh, that's not me, great news. The most effective thing that we have found, if you're in this positive range, is to keep going, but learn to speak a language that's helpful to people in this range. That doesn't stunt your growth. That doesn't turn you around. It actually sets a new fire in your faith because you're willing and able to help. In fact, those of you who are positive threes and fours who have experienced this, thank you so much. I know it's a sacrifice to speak the language understandably of people who are just finding or just growing in their faith. Thank you for being part of Journey, because that's what we're about, is staying understandable. In fact, no matter where you fall on this continuum, I want to bring this action step for you, this challenge for this week. Practice explaining your faith clearly in 3 minutes or less. Could you do it? Now you might say, oh my gosh, I have such a layered story, such a big, yeah, great, you got 3 minutes to tell me that story. In fact, it goes along with a question. Here's the question that comes along with it. Would my neighbor understand me? Maybe your neighbor's a -4. Would they? They don't have to believe exactly what you believe after your 3 minutes. And why 3 minutes? Because that's about the amount of time you ever have with your neighbor. Isn't that true? Could you explain what God is doing, how you're interacting with him? When they see you leave early for church and they're like, you just get back, look at your fancy clothes. What would you say? Could you say, hey, here's why that's meaningful for me. Here's how I have experienced God. Could you do it in 3 minutes, understandable way? If we did this, the community would be changed. And revitalized by us sharing the good things that Jesus is doing in our lives. That's the second. The third thing we should do in order to better understand and interact with the Bible is this. We need to let every biblical truth result in practical action. We are not intended to just internalize spiritual truth, just share those concepts with others. We're supposed to learn from the concepts and have our actions change to reflect the heart of God's love for other people. I've used this analogy before, so maybe some of you will recognize it even as I pull this prop out here. But this is a kitchen scale. A few years ago, I decided I wanted to eat well for a few days. And I know I said, you know what I need, the helpful tool I need is I need to get it myself. I need to weigh all my food out to the, whatever, grams? Do we do grams? Whatever it was, whatever unit that I need to measure out. So I went to Amazon. Amazon's Choice is what this is. Thank you, Amazon. And this is literally the one that I ordered. It came to my house. I set it down, and I thought, this is a new beginning. I'm going to look so good after this project. And I put it on my kitchen counter and started putting things on it. And wouldn't you know it, it's a total piece of junk. Doesn't work at all. If I push really hard, it registers a tiny bit. But this, and I went on Amazon, maybe I'm doing it wrong. I looked on Amazon and people are raving about it. Oh my gosh, it's so helpful, it's so precise, it really will jumpstart your nutritional journey. And I was like, that's garbage, they must be paid shills or whatever. So I was more than usual ticked. And I was like, I'm sending this piece of junk back. So I got the refund going. Yes, I'm going to drop it off at Kohl's. That's the only reason I go to Kohl's, to drop that thing off. And they always have it in a different spot. You've all been there. But then I took one step further. Was like, I'm going to write a review. Wrote a scathing review of what a piece of junk this thing was. I don't usually do that. I was fired up. Then I was taking this object and I was packaging it, repackaging it, and putting it back in the box with all of the fury that I had, when suddenly the cover came off. And setting that aside and back on my kitchen counter now, works extremely well. It's a great piece of equipment. It knows exactly how much your food weighs at all times. Thank you so much, little guy. And I apologize for all the wrong that I have committed. So I took the review down, kept the thing. Here's my point. It didn't matter how good someone told me this thing was until I used it, until I put it to practical use correctly. How many of us are interacting with the Bible with the cover on, where it's completely useless to us because we have not allowed it to change anything about what we do? We are maybe as a spiritual checkbox. I'm like, sure, I'm going to put my eyeballs on the text. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about engaging with it so it manages who you are. That's why I look so good today, everybody. Nobody clapped, and that's rude. Just kidding. I want to show you a classic Bible verse from the book of James. This is Jesus' half-brother says, don't just listen to God's word. You have to do what it says. What has changed about your life? That's the story you could tell to your neighbor in 3 minutes. Hey, I'm really working on this because God's love is motivating me to change something. That's what he wants from us. And actually, that's why, this verse is why we give you action steps. Why together we want to commit to trying something, working on it. Not just because you need more busy work, but because we all need to practice living this out. In fact, for this third point, I'm not going to give you an action step because it's about action steps. And that would be a circular reference, black holes would open, we all die. But instead, let me review what we talked about today. Here's what the message was. We should commit to reading and understanding and living out God's truth in the Bible. How do we do that? Well, first, read it thoughtfully. Second, you share the truth. Learn to do that in understandable language. And then finally, let's take biblical truth and make that into practical action. How is God wanting to change your life? I cannot end today without raving about the incredible start we had to the table groups that launched last week. I want to show you this portrait. This was the group. It's not huge, but maybe 12 to 15 people gathered at Torrance. There was another group here of about 20, 25 people who'd started in this group. And by the way, we'll talk more about groups next week again, and there's still time to join one of these things. All I did at this table group was introduce the passages, the scripture text that we're going to read. We read them together, and then these groups around their table started having discussions, practical discussions. And their discussions were about their marriages and their relationships, people they love, and the ways that they're interacting with their jobs and the practical ways that they can connect with the community better. My heart was so full of the love of God for these people because we were doing this together. We were taking the Bible so seriously that God was able to speak to us in practical ways. Friends, please, 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 think about ways in your life that you can do the same. If it means joining a table group, that's awesome, or a different group. But even as you interact with God personally this week, will you let him change your heart, lead you to new action? If you do that, it can change your world. And that's what we're about as a church. Hey, with all that said, thanks for listening. Will you stand with me at both campuses? Let's close up today. I want to pray over you as you go. Do want, again, please, please take advantage of some time with our great prayer team. If that will bring you comfort, I really want to have you connect in that way. All right, allow me to pray and then we'll dismiss now. Dear Lord, thank you that you are calling us into communication, that you want to teach us truth from the Bible. Lord, will you inspire us through your Spirit to open the Bible a little bit this week, to learn new patterns of how to interact with you better. And then when we do that, will you allow us to find you? Will you allow us to find your message of love, your message of challenge, your message of forgiveness and motivation to take the next step? Thank you for wanting to talk to me. Thank you for wanting to talk to us. I pray that our spiritual ears would be open this week as we read the Bible. Thank you for this time together in your presence, Lord. So we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Hey, boy, thanks for coming to church, everybody. We'll see you back at church next week.